Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Mind Yourself podcast. So today we are super excited because we are speaking to some of the team from the Ohana Zero Suicide Group. So for those of you who don't know yet, so what Ohana are is they're an organization that are helping provide people with suicide prevention training for people across Ireland. And my first experience with these guys was kind of late last year. In only kind of a few months since they've kind of really been up and going, they've already got over 10,000 followers on Instagram. Last time I checked, over 250,000 people have completed the training. So for us at MOTUS, obviously everyone knows we're really passionate about education when it comes to mental health. And so to see other initiatives like this taking place is really exciting. And that's why we're super excited to have the guys on. So another exciting first is, unlike all of our other podcasts, actually, I think this is a first. So you'll be excited about this, is that we have two guests on, not just one. So we have two members of the team from the Ohana group. So I'm delighted to be joined today by Anna Thielen and Valerie McHugh. Guys, how are yous?
Very good. Thank you. How are you?
So let's just keep it fairly open and broad, I think, at the start. It'd be really kind of interesting just to understand both your guys' individual backgrounds, how you kind of, what brought you to this space, working with Ohana, the mental health space, and just generally kind of where this has come from in your personal lives.
Well, I'll start. So Anna and I actually met back in 2017, I think. We both became Cycle Against Suicide student ambassadors, and we didn't know each other before, like we're from opposite sides of the country. And we met through this, and that was another organization that was kind of working to highlight suicide prevention. And then as we got older and we went into college, we obviously remained really good friends. And then our mentor from Cycle Against Suicide, Angeline, got in touch with us last year and was like, I think I'm starting up something new, you know, would any of you like to get involved? And Anna and I kind of just jumped on board. And then that was kind of the beginning of Ohana Zero Suicide.
Okay, so when was that? How long ago was that? So like, how many years or how many months since this whole Ohana concept started?
So it started back in the first lockdown. So around this time of year, this time last year, we kind of, a group of 16 of us got together, 16 individuals from across the island of Ireland. There's actually one fella in New York. So, so we just got together and started working towards this goal to provide free online suicide awareness and prevention training. And then it finally got launched then in December of just last year gone.
Very good. Very good. So, I mean, kind of bringing it back both in your own personal lives, in your education backgrounds, what struck a chord with you guys from a mental health perspective? Was it from personal experience? Was it just generally just interest and wanted to have an impact? Like from both your perspective, what drew you? Because obviously you met at Cycle Against Suicide. So obviously it's been a long kind of interest and kind of passion for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, for me, like everyone has their own personal mental health journey. Like that's just the way that everyone's built. But I suppose personally, I just, from a very young age, I found it really upsetting to see people suffering. And even more so, like people that were suffering that were unable to reach out for help for whatever reason, because there was boundaries or barricades put in their way or for any reason. So that's kind of why I started getting involved when I was back in school. And obviously now I'm in college and I'm like an adult now. And I suppose I've just decided to keep going with it.
I would say the same. I kind of was first, I think the first encounter I had with like mental health or the topic of mental health was when I was in transition year. And it clicked with me. It made so much sense to me, like, oh, everyone has a mental health. Why isn't it spoken about more? So it was, and then realizing, like Valerie said, the amount of people that struggle with their mental health. And I just straight away got completely engrossed in being involved in school with mental health awareness, and then with Cycle Against Suicide, and then obviously moving on to college, I got involved where I could in like the students' union with the mental health coordinator, and now finally with Ohana. So it's a great thing to be involved in. I think it's kind of grown the passion for it. Yeah, as we've gone
for sure, for sure, and I mean, kind of growing up and then obviously going into university, did you guys find there was a lack of services? Did you find there were lots of kind of things there to help people with regards to mental health? Or did your, was it more that you guys felt, look, there's not enough there, we want to kind of address it? What were your own personal experiences in that instance?
Well, I mean, I don't think that many people would argue with me when I say, like, the services in this country for people that are suffering with their mental health, they're just not up to scratch. And, you know, I think what's great about the colleges, I know that it's the same for Anna in college as well, and we're in two different universities, but there are counseling services available. But, you know, even now you kind of notice they're for limited, you know, periods, or, you know, if you go past the six sessions, you know, you have to pay for them, or even the cost associated with the private healthcare with to do with your mental health can be astronomical for people. And even just aside from all of that, it's great that it exists, but I just think that there's just a big gap. Like, I mean, people talk about cancer, you know, as awful and unfortunate as that is, that's a very big topic of conversation, and I think the services are better in that way. But mental health does actually affect a lot of people as well. So I think that them services need to be improved. And I think that's why I've continued to work in this area, because, you know, the more awareness we can bring and, you know, the more of the stigma we can break, you know, the better we can benefit.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say the same. I remember being involved in mental health awareness, like, throughout school and in college as well, and encouraging people to speak out and ask for help when they need it, and trying to provide that kind of safe space by breaking down the stigma. But I think when it comes to the Ohana Zero Suicide Training, when Angeline like reached out, it made so much sense, because when I think of, you know, there's been times where people have come to me for help, and although I'm, you know, I'm used to being involved in mental health awareness, I didn't feel quite equipped and confident in knowing how to deal with the situation, and being able to provide that person with the, you know, be able to guide them into the correct resources and that kind of thing. So I feel like there's a space for this kind of training out there, and so I'm glad that it's finally reached that stage where people can complete it. Yeah,
for sure. I think it is a kind of a scary thing. Even the more you learn, or maybe the more you become aware of, you know, mental health education, or just in general mental health and it lessening the stigma, it's still always a scary situation to imagine what would you do in a circumstance where you either had a friend, family, or a colleague who was suffering or in a suicidal place. How would you deal with it? What do you say? You know, are you comfortable that you would say the right thing at the right time? I think that's something everyone worries about. Did you guys ever go through, personally, now I don't know, is this, you know, maybe too much of a personal question, but did you guys ever go through your own struggles and felt you didn't have the supports around you, or did feel you had the supports around you and that informs you with how you want Ohana to kind of work? Like, have you guys ever gone through something of a kind of an event, either personally or maybe with a friend, that you had to offer advice where it was in a suicidal place? Is that something you guys have ever experienced?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think I won't say exactly, but I know there has been situations where people have expressed, like, their struggle and have reached out for help, and the people that they reached out to, like, it's very overwhelming experience for that to happen, especially when it's someone who you're close to and you care about. So the pressure there to kind of, I don't know, like, you nearly take on a sense of responsibility for that person, and it's a stressful situation when you're in this particular situation, when you're young and you don't know who to turn to, or how to help that person. It's a very difficult spot to be in, but I think, you know, I think it's so important to know the services that are out there, and a lot of the voluntary organizations as well that provide the help, as well as counseling services. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I suppose echoing what Anna said there, you know, kind of as well as what you said as well earlier, Owen, like, you kind of wonder that if you ever face a situation like this where you're either in a situation yourself, or if someone else approaches you who's having suicidal thoughts, you kind of wonder, you know, God, what'll I say? And I think that that is what Ohana Zero Suicide Training is trying to do. It's giving you the ability to help save a life by kind of guiding you through the three steps that come with a situation like that, by teaching you how to identify the signs of someone who might be suicidal or having suicidal thoughts, you know, asking the appropriate questions. It gives you language that you can use so that when you're in a situation like that, you know, whoever it may be, whether it's a stranger or someone, you know, that you know personally or a family member, that you can actually directly ask them the appropriate questions. But it's just kind of safeguarding you to give you a bit of a toolkit for a situation like that. I mean, let's not dance around. I mean, it's still a really serious situation. You're never going to take away the gravity of something like that. But I think that, you know, having language to talk about with it, directly being able to ask someone, and then also having the tools from the training that will help you guide people to the appropriate help, whatever that may be at the time, you know, keeping them safe. That's kind of just all you can get, you know, that's all you can prepare for. And it just will help the situation and it'll make it easier for people to get help. I think, you know, like we were talking earlier, different, you know, services that are available in Ireland, and you know, they're available, which is great. But I think everybody having a training like this, of course, you know, we must reiterate that this training is recommended for 18 years and over, you know, for adults. But if everyone had a training like this, I think that we could reduce suicides. And it kind of just takes that stigma off that kind of whole, oh, taboo subject no one wants to talk about, you know?
For sure. And I think what I find, you know, really cool, and we can go into that now, is when I went onto the Ohana site and did the training, how simple the concept is. I mean, it's a really cool idea. It's a really cool story. It's a fantastic brand. But the root of what you guys do is ultimately very simple and very accessible. And I think that's the biggest thing, is that people often, you know, are like, ugh, training, and like, is this too much above my head? Do I need to like have some sort of expertise in psychology to be able to do this? So what's great is that you guys have basically made this sort of knowledge very accessible for everyone. It'd be great if you could go into kind of specifically for people, you know, obviously it's very clear it's relation to suicide and suicide training, but explain a little bit kind of more clear code what people can expect, what Ohana provides specifically as regards what that training is, and you know what they can expect when they go on there.
So the training takes approximately 20 to 40 minutes to complete, and it is absolutely free. So all it requires is your time. So the training goes through the three steps that Valerie mentioned before. So C, say, signpost. So the first one, C, so to be able to identify someone who you think may be struggling, or someone who you think might be off, or you sense that there's something different going on. Mm-hmm. Then say is the next one. So say, to be able to ask the appropriate questions, use the correct language, and to be able to express your concern. And then the third stage is signpost. So signpost is being able to guide that person to the appropriate help, or the appropriate resources. And there is more information of those resources and services on our website. So the training, it brings you through like different scenarios and different role plays. And like some off the top of my head, so they're quite diverse. So there's one with like a parent and a teenager. There's one with a taxi man and a passenger. And then there's one with a work colleague, and that's a few. So, you know, it's really great and broad, and it shows how those conversations can be applied in different scenarios and by different methods, you know, face to face, but also through texting as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think, the scenarios are really cool. I particularly found the one about the taxi driver, because it was a scenario where it was a stranger. And I was like, that's an uncomfortable situation, because you have to get quite, I suppose, intrusive, but intrusive in a good way, because you obviously are trying to figure out how someone's feeling. But the fact that it was there explaining to people how to actually deal with it if it's a stranger that you meet in a certain circumstance, I thought was quite powerful, because...
Yeah.
Although it's a daunting situation, it was quite simple, the techniques that you guys talked about. And I like that three-step strategy. What I'm interested about is where did the training and where did it come from, and what inspired it? I know obviously you said you got contacted and, you know, you built this team, but like, you know, Where did you guys sit down and put this together, or where does it all come from? Because it is really fantastic, I think.
Well, the training is based originally off the Zero Suicide Alliance training, which is over in the UK. Mm-hmm. And that was where we originally, you know, got a lot of this information from, what it's all based upon. And you'll see that when you go into the Ohana training as well. But I think the reason that we kind of established something like this was actually when we started to come together as a group and discuss ideas on like, okay, we want to make a difference. How are we going to do this? I remember having a conversation with Angeline where we were like, do you know what we should do? You know, we should all do like a SAFE course, you know, which is a similar, probably more extensive version of like the Ohana course. Of course, you know, a lot of people would do that if they were working in like maybe Gardaí and stuff like that. And we were like, we should all do a SAFE course. And then it was kind of like, there's no like one available, you know, in Ireland kind of idea, you know, like it seems to be, we're accessing them through other countries. And I suppose it kind of just all came from there, and it just kind of tumbled into which is now the Ohana Zero Suicide Training. And as like we said earlier, like it's such a daunting situation, and we're never going to be able, like you can never underestimate how serious of a situation that is, and how sad and how difficult it is for somebody on the outside looking in, and obviously as well for the person suffering. And it's not like, you're not like a certified counselor after something like this. It's just giving you tools so that when you're in a situation like that, you can act appropriately. It's kind of like first aid, but for your mind, you know. Like, you know, like if you fell over like in a field somewhere and twisted your ankle, you know, the whole rice strategy, you know, rest, ice, you know, great. It's kind of something like that. It's not taking necessarily the severity away, but it's just giving you like a bit of help to help you along, to help somebody else.
It's great. And I mean, so when you kind of packed, did you work with the guys in the UK kind of almost kind of in partnership, or did you just take some of the concepts and sort of build it out yourselves? How did that work? Kind of, did you get a lot of help from them to kind of build it here, or, you know, how did you put it all together?
Well, it is a partnership, you know, so like as in, and that is said on the Ohana website, Ohana Zero Suicide website, of course, but they've been so helpful along the way. And of course, we adapted it to include, you know, for example, you know, the Irish resources that are available and things like that, because, you know, when you're in Ireland, the UK ones aren't really, you know, of any benefit if you're in Ireland. So, you know, they were really excellent in that way.
I think that's what's great is it also gives that credibility as well, that you've gotten a lot of evidence that it's worked over in the UK. And I know we find even ourselves, the UK, as much as we're very proud Irish people, they tend to be a lot further ahead when it comes to mental health and mental health education and services. And they do put us to shame in that respect. So it's fantastic that you were able to kind of base it off something, see that it's working, and bring it over here. So obviously you came up with this concept. And what's crazy is it's been a year, and you have like over 250,000 people have gone through this training, and there's like 10,000. I mean, we were looking, you know, obviously on social media, and we're saying like, you know, we've been doing this game for like 2 or 3 years. And I think we have, I don't know what it is, like maybe like, you know, 1500 followers or 1200 followers or something. And then we looked at you guys, we're like, 10,000 followers. How have they gone like just like viral out of nowhere? Like, did you guys, once you built the idea and you, I suppose, went through kind of all the kind of workshopping and brainstorming, and I think it's really great, because I think the biggest thing is if we wait for government and public sector services to address a lot of this stuff, and that's not to say replace them. And what I really liked actually, and this is something to call out, which I really was impressed by, was you guys actually acknowledge the fact that this isn't replacing anything, and you're not trying to discredit, you know, the charitable services or the government agencies that do a lot of really good work. This is to enhance what they're doing, which I thought was great, because I think there's no point in anyone trying to compete with anyone in this space, because there's so much that needs to be addressed, and it's just not possible for one person. So to see ideas like yourselves and, you know, people taking initiative to set up, you know, startups and these concepts to speed up the process of getting us into a better place, I think is really important. But like, so you came up with the idea. What did you then, like, you know, how have you really spread this out? It's like everywhere. Everyone I speak to has heard of the Ohana training, has either done it or has heard of it, or a friend has done it. What did you go about spreading the message around Ohana? What did you guys do? Did you have much of a plan, or was it just text around all our WhatsApp groups and get all our friends to share it around?
It was a bit of both, I think. It was a lot of reaching out to family and friends and people that you knew, kind of your contacts. But then, like, I have to give huge kudos to, like, the people, like, on our team who came up with these amazing campaign strategies to get, like, the sports clubs involved. And that, I think, was one of the big things that kind of helped us grow a lot, was like how involved the sports clubs were getting in them, and that happened quite rapidly. Yeah, and then we have the at the end of the training you receive a certificate with your name on it, so that's something that's kind of been doing well, I suppose, is once people complete the training they share their certificate on their social media and kind of nominate other people to do it. So that's kind of fun. It's like encouraging people to do it that way, and that has worked well for us. Valerie, is there anything else I'm leaving out there? I'm sure there might be.
Well, no, Anna, you kind of covered it all really, but like, as in, we do kind of say we actually have no idea how many people have completed the training, because the thing we're able to calculate is how many people have taken the first step, which is by accessing our website. And as you said, that's over 250,000 people, which is just crazy. And we do know that it's been, you know, like, it is. And I think, you know, just bringing it back to what Anna said there about the sports clubs, you know, I wouldn't have been a big, you know, sport player in my day. So I think that the big indicator that this was spreading, you know, even more than I think any of us could have hoped it would, was when it actually managed to get into my local sports club before I had even sent the email to tell them that I thought they should do this thing. I remember texting the girls and being like, guys, like, I didn't even have to text my local club. Like, they just know, they're just sharing it. And then, you know, some people that I went to school with were just like sharing their certificates. And like, I wasn't the one who told them about it. So like, it just showed, like, it just exploded. And like, we were all just sat. And obviously we're all from, you know, a lot of us actually, we haven't all actually met in person started this because of the coronavirus restrictions. So like, we were all sat in like our souls being like, this is so exciting, but like, we can't really do very much to celebrate by like a Zoom party. But like, it's just been fantastic. And like, huge kudos to people on the team who have come up with the amazing strategies that they've come up with to I think spread this as much as possible into businesses as well and corporate circle.
That's the other thing, actually, I remember while you were speaking there, was the corporate campaigns have, like, which we wouldn't have much involvement in because we're students, but there are people on the team who are working hard on that, and it's amazing the work that they do there as well.
Like, a huge sense of pride I'm sure you guys felt, and I think it is really, really a credit, particularly in a perfect example of, like, you know, COVID companies, COVID startups where none of these have ever met before, but yet you're still kind of, you know, going around and everyone's hearing about you and you're like, oh wow, like, we've never actually met, which is just like even crazier in itself. But yeah, I'm sure that's super exciting just to see how impactful and obviously how effective it's been since so many people are doing it. So kind of getting it, kind of obviously being in this space, I'm sure you guys have, you know, your own opinions on it, but I'd be interested to know, from what you guys are doing, where you see current public opinion around suicide. Like, as in, what do you think it's the stigma around it? I know, I think when I looked at the numbers, they have dropped, I think, in the most recent research between 2012 and 2019, they've dropped nominally. They've been fairly consistent. So I don't think it's a case that we have some sort of a suicide epidemic in Ireland and it's gone crazy. But in general, as regards how we deal, how we talk, how we communicate about suicide, what do you think, you know, the state of play is for that today at the minute in Ireland?
Well, I mean, that's such a, it's such a good question, because, you know, for anyone that's on the Ohana team, I mean, we obviously are quite tuned into the statistics and things that are happening in Ireland. But there is a massive stigma around it. And like, even like, it's only recently that we've started to remove the word commit, you know, from, you know, from the act of suicide, like committing, like that was nearly giving it a criminal tone. And, you know, it's not that at all. Like, it's a common, like, disease, if you like, that's affecting lots of people. And there is a shared journey amongst people that go through that. And it's just sad to see that that's not always reflected in the way that it's talked about. But I do, like, I must say, like, we're really progressing very well as a country, because even when we were kids, I mean, I don't ever remember suicide really being talked about when we were in when we were kids, not even really mental health when we were young in school. It wasn't really a massive topic. So I think it's great that Ohana Zero Suicide is working to break that stigma by kind of just like establishing a conversation around all of this. And it's not that it makes it less serious, but it just breaks down the unnecessary boundaries that are put in the way of people that are dealing with a situation like this.
Yeah, I'd merit what you say, Valerie. I think like it's no secret that there is still a stigma around it. There has been amazing works and campaigns and organization making efforts to break down the stigma, but it's still there to an extent. And where there is stigma, there is silence. And it's so important that we create like a safe space for people who are struggling to be able to speak out and ask for help, and you know, and to meet that those vulnerabilities with compassion and acceptance. And yeah, I think that's kind of like what the training does, is it enables that conversation because it gives people the toolkit to be able to have those conversations and have them effectively as well, to communicate effectively in those conversations.
What I think was great about it was it was like the perfect solution for the society we live in today. It was very compelling story, it was very compelling brand, it was effective training that wasn't hugely time consuming because we're all desperate at doing anything that involves concentration. So I mean, and this is something we're quite strong about at Modus, is around, you know, social media isn't a negative as much as it often is described when it comes to mental health. And obviously you guys have benefited with that ability to share and talk about it. Do you guys, obviously the training is the core of what you do, and obviously a lot of the content you share is really good as well. Do you guys take a strong interest in how social media can be used as an effective tool to offer a communication platform, and how it can be used to better communicate around mental health and suicide rather than being a negative? Do you guys put a lot of thought into that, or what are your opinions on that?
Yeah, I suppose that's kind of like a personal question, really. I think in terms of myself, like, and how I use social media now, especially going through lockdown, it's kind of changed. I try to follow people who are more real and outspoken when it comes to like, when it comes to like mental health or just life in general. Do you know, I think social media can kind of be perceived as like a platform where people show their best selves, but I think that's kind of changing, and that in itself is a form of education, because you're kind of, you know, you're learning about people, and I actually have learned, like, from following certain people, like some people will post like their morning thoughts, or will, you know, show books that they've read, and I've read books and started a gratitude journal from watching these people, which has been had a great impact on me, especially through the lockdown. But yeah, I think especially, look, people are spending more and more times on their phones these days. Well, I know I am anyway, like with all the lockdowns, and I think it's important that we use social media as a tool to communicate like mental health and mental health education. And that was something I loved about like your guys' Instagram and podcast, was that it's really informative, and I think it's important to, like, where you get your information sources from. And I like found you guys such a credible source, and especially listening to your podcast, I thought it was so interesting, like understanding like biology and the chemistry behind like how our minds work. Like, that's so cool, like, and it's such an in-depth understanding. It really shows that there's more than just what's at the surface.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to agree with you there, Anna. Like, and I think the way I've always looked at social media is that social media is primarily a facilitator of conversation, of information, of anything, and that can be used in a negative or a positive way. And look, it's still being used in a negative way in some areas. And you know, I think it's going to take a lot to change that, because that's just society in general, you know. But I think it's great that we're using it in such a positive way. And, you know, as a group, I think we try and engage with, you know, as Anna said, like, not like nice people to follow. I know that sounds very, very, very general, but like people that are inspiring and that, you know, are real. I think that realness is starting to come back into social media, which is great.
So as you were saying about social media being a really good platform, and I think that's something that people are starting to learn, that we need to look at social media and with a kind of a critical opinion, rather than it being purely just a place to absorb information. I think it's because it's now become our main source of information. We need to be a little bit more critical around how we use it. What kind of brings you on, and it was something that you mentioned there, Anna, around, you know, some of the really interesting stuff that we've done on the podcast. For me, that's been my biggest source of learning. I get the pleasure of getting to sit with Christy, my colleague, who is the brains behind the operation, what I like to say, because of his expertise in child psychology. And I get the joys of just getting to sit and pick his brains on different topics in relation to mental health. That's been, you know, hugely rewarding and, you know, educational for me. So that brings me on to, like, from your guys' perspective, what have you guys learned in this journey with Ohana? What do you feel you've come away with, or at least are better informed about, having, you know, gone through the process of trying to figure out how you can address suicide in Ireland?
Gosh, that's like such a heavy question, really. Like, what have I learned? Not even just through Ohana, but through Cycle Against Suicide and through every single person that I've met who is a mental health advocate. Like, you just learn something new every day, and you learn that we can actually, as a society, chip away at that stigma, which I think is really, really important, and that we can actually make a difference. You know, like, that's such a cliche phrase, you know, we can make a difference. No, like, that's actually true. And like, to see how far and wide this training has spread, you know, reaching over 250,000 people, I mean, that's just evidence in itself. And, you know, everyone saying about, you know, sharing their certificates. And we even had somebody reach out and say that after they did the training in their workplace, someone actually reached out to them, you know, for help. And they knew exactly what to do because of our training. And just to hear something like that, like, to help that one person, you know, and to potentially have saved a life, is just, like, it can actually be done. I think that's what I've learned, you know, that it was, someone just has to stand up and take action.
Yeah, I'd say the same. Like, it's amazing working in a group. And like Valerie said, like, in like past experiences with like Cycle Against Suicide, or working in within my secondary school, but now like with Ohana, when you're involved in a group of people who all have the same goal and the same mindset, like, we're all so different. Like Valerie said, we haven't met, like, I've met Valerie and a few other people on the team through Cycle Against Suicide, but like, not most of the team members. And it's amazing that you can come together from all different parts of the country, all different ages, different backgrounds, different like careers, all of that kind of thing, and come together and have this common goal and be able to work towards creating something that's actually been put now out there into the world and has made a difference. I think that's what I've learned, is that like, if you put your mind to it, you can do it. And it's amazing what like a group of like-minded people with a common goal, and like, you can actually achieve it. So go for it, like, yeah. And like, Angeline was the one who brought us all together. We have to
yeah, good old Angeline. She's getting shout outs left, right, and center.
Everybody's amazing.
How big is the team, actually? Like, how many of you are together working on this?
16, as far as I know at this moment. We have 16 members that have, you know, been involved since the very, very, very first day. And it's kind of funny because like, we keep saying how like, none of us know each other. Obviously, like, Anna and I like are pretty good friends from the Cycle Against Suicide days, but you know, it's kind of funny, like, the way it was like a little spider web, like, everybody is linked to kind of somebody, and you know, we haven't all met each other in real life. And it's kind of funny, like, we're still like finding things out about each other and like each other's careers. And like, Sue Carty, you know, she's massive with Irish rugby, and like, I didn't know that when I first met her. And I think I just saw an article about her one day, and I was like, oh my goodness, I was like, this is her, like, this is the person, yeah, I was on Zoom with last night. So yeah, it's kind of funny like that.
Yeah, I suppose Ireland being such a small place as well, everyone has connections or interlinks kind of everywhere. You figure out, oh, you know that person, yeah, or you know, we did that together. But yeah, no, it's really great. And I think I love that kind of idea around, you know, if you put your mind to it, particularly in this kind of social enterprise space, and trying to, you know, do things, you know, obviously to be successful, but to obviously also do good, I think is something that everyone should aspire, or at least realize that they can have an impact as well. This might also be a bit, you know, a heavy question, but I'm going to put it to you because obviously this is what you guys are trying to do. And this is what we're trying to do as well, but from a different angle. And we spend a lot of our time at Modus kind of struggling with the fact that, you know, we're out here doing our thing. But yet there's still very limited support from government and from, you know, politicians in relation to, you know, services there to help, or at least, you know, putting in the work to try and put things on the curriculum, because that's our thing. It's around education for children and putting mental health education on the curriculum. If you could sit down with politicians or talk about what you guys are trying to do and how maybe they could replicate it or spread this further, is this something you guys struggle with, or do you feel like this is just another thing that can be done? Do you find yourselves frustrated with how certain government policies aren't, you know, addressing this as what in the same way you guys are trying to do?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think all the different mental health organizations and charities that are out there carry a huge weight, I suppose. I think a lot of people depend on those organizations and services, which I don't know if that's right. Like, I think we do need to improve the mental health services that we have in this country. I know, like, as a student, like Valerie mentioned before, like, there's free counselling to a certain extent in our, like, in universities. And I know just from, like, you know, working like within the college, like, it's important to promote those as well. But yeah, for sure, there definitely needs to be change within government policies to make more services available to people and to not have to be put on a list. Because the thing is, when someone reaches out and asks for help, that takes a humongous amount of courage to make that step. And then to be faced with being put on a waiting list or not being able to reach the services that you need straight away, it has to be very disheartening and scary as well. I think that, of course, there's something that needs to be done and as soon as possible. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I just mirror everything Anna said. And one thing I've always loved about Motus Learning from, you know, your very beginning is, you know, the fact that they're trying to implement, you know, mental health, you know, train or education, if you like, at quite a young age, because that's when you're developing. I mean, people say that the teenage years are the hardest years of your life, but I actually think that real kind of tender age, like 10, 11, 12, when you're kind of a child merging into teens and you're kind of in school and there's friends and there's cliques and there's a whole thing, like, that's really hard. And I think that's where the mental health awareness education is, like, really needs to be, which is great, you know, about Motus, what you're trying to do. But then, you know, I suppose as a journalism student, we love to be critical of the government and the way that they handle things. And look, like, there's no other way of painting it other than the fact that, like, as in, it's atrocious, like, the way that our system is. And I don't want anyone that's listening to this, like, if there was someone that was struggling listening to this or someone that they know is struggling, like, I don't want to be disheartening in so far as I don't want to be like, oh God, like, it's awful, all the services, because there are amazing people out there and services that can help you. But I think that, you know, that's being provided too much from the likes of charity services like Pieta House and, you know, things like that. It needs to come, I think, more from the government to kind of, I think, be able to help more people all at the same time. It's been kind of driven from a side that is fantastic and is doing great work and it's great, but also we need to take the burden off of them a little bit and come back to our, like, actual health service and, like, have it do what it's actually, like, you know, supposed to do.
Yeah, exactly. Like, actually, like, make it efficient. Because I know that's the other thing. You know, the start is just recognize someone feeling suicidal or has an issue, but then you have to go through the process of getting the treatment, and that can be a rigorous process. And I think that was where our thing came from, was that we felt that we needed to do a lot more early intervention and skills development so that less people went into the system, because we're not sure if we can trust that the system will ever be able to deal with all the people who need it. And so you need to almost prevent it before it is a problem. That's where our thoughts came from. But I think that what is exciting is that you guys are looking at it from the same side. What you guys are trying to do is, you know, address these things before you're in the situation where it is an issue, so that at least you have the skills and you have at least the tools, and hopefully that, you know, sort of almost filters some of those situations to kind of minimize the pressure on our health service. Because as we all know, it would take a huge restructuring for it to ever be able to address every single case. So it's nice that, you know, we kind of share that. So, I mean, three more questions, I think, and then I'll let you go and enjoy your evening. But regarding Ohana, and obviously you know, what's crazy is, like, you know, when I look at where you guys, what you guys are doing and how big and how widely it's used already, it's crazy to think it's only been a few months. Like, I'm almost saying, like, you know, come on, what's the next great idea you guys are going to come out with? Because I'm like, you know, but it is only kind of what you'd argue is early stages. But like, what is your kind of thoughts going forward with Ohana? What are the next steps? Is there other training programs? Is it just going into different areas of mental health? You know, what is it you guys are looking at, hopefully, kind of doing over the coming months?
I think we do have, you know, a few ideas in the works. I don't think we're at liberty to discuss them. I don't know, Valerie, are we? but for now, well, I suppose this podcast is going to be released, hopefully, on Ohana Day, which is the 11th of May, a Tuesday. So, yeah, I suppose it's kind of promoting, I suppose our objective is to promote the training and to get as many people to do the training as possible, and that is our main focus. We have our social media accounts where we try and, you know, I remember, like, we do posts like random act of kindness day, like remember to do something nice for someone today, or to remind you that it's Mother's Day today and give your mom a card, that kind of just like that kind of thing. But in terms of plans for the future, there have been a few ideas thrown out there that I think we're going to work on, but nothing has been solidified, so I don't think I'll be I don't want to get given out to no I don't think we're at liberty to say, but hopefully there will be more down the track. Yeah,
so absolutely. It's like, just everyone watch this space, cliffhanger. Don't take your eyes off Ohana, and cool things will come. Well, you've proven it so far. I mean, there's been, you know, people have seen what you've done so far. Anyone would be keen to keep an eye on what you guys plan for the future. So, you know, finally, and this is the kind of couple of questions I like to ask people always when we do these kind of interviews, because it's interesting just to get another side of it. But who, and each of you can individually answer these one after another, but like, who are, or what has inspired you to go down this route in relation to suicide training? Like, is it an experience? Is it a person? What has kind of given you that drive to do this? Because it takes a lot of work and time. And that's one thing people don't realize, that yes, it is a great thing and you do get a lot of satisfaction, but it does take time and effort and energy. So like, what is it that kind of drives you or inspired you to get involved and continues to inspire you to work towards a suicide prevention?
I mean, every single person, and I'm sure Anna will say the same, that we've met along the way that has expressed their passion for this area too, they have been massive inspirations for us on the Ohana journey, but even just as our journey as like adults, like coming into adult life and meeting other people. Because I mean, you can say like Ohana Zero Suicide, we're a community, and even going back to what you were saying about plans for the future, you know, there's lots of things coming up that we're not really at liberty to say yet, but you know, it's that we're a community and that we're linked together. And I think the fact that we're such, even as a group of 16 of us who have established this amazing thing, they're probably some of my biggest inspirations right now to just marvel at everything that as a group we've been able to achieve. But it's kind of like stepping back for a minute and watching it through a window. It's like this amazing thing that like human empathy that can be achieved. And I suppose obviously inspiration wise, you know, my family and my friends, they're great inspirations and all of that, and that's great too. But yeah, I think the Ohana team, Anna included in that, have been the biggest inspirations.
Thanks, Valerie.
No problem.
Yeah, I suppose of course I have to say the same. Like when I first got involved with like mental health awareness and suicide prevention, I was 16 17. I was in secondary school in TY, and I don't know, I just remember kind of, I remember a few really like influential teachers that I had at the time were kind of getting us involved in the Cycle Against Suicide Schools program at the time, and I just got completely engrossed in it. And I think, like, I had a tough time in, like, primary school. I didn't have the best experience, and coming into secondary school, and I always had this feeling of, I don't know, I just, like, everyone deserves to be themselves and to be accepted as themselves, and everyone has a place and everyone belongs. And I think there was something about getting involved with mental health awareness that kind of really complemented and echoed that part of me that, like, and then that's just kind of just gone, like, continued along the way, and being involved in different groups, and like Valerie said, everyone that I've met along, like, my own journey with, like, mental health awareness and suicide prevention have all inspired me, because everyone is working towards that common goal to spread awareness and to reduce suicide. And I think that, like, each person is inspiring, because we all have different backgrounds and different stories, but this is one common denominator that we all share, and there's something quite beautiful, like, in that, that's the one thing that connects us. And, like I already said before, like, just to show the power that that a group of people can have in creating something like this. I think we all inspire each other. Valerie, you inspire me.
There you go. I was like, oh, she's gonna say Valerie now. She's gonna say Anna. So, like, it's gonna be a nasty text or phone call after this if she doesn't reciprocate. But I mean, I think I for sure can say, but I think anyone who would, you know, listen to you guys and see what you guys are doing would agree that, I mean, anyone would be inspired by what you guys are doing. And I think it is really rewarding. It's also inspiring in its own way for us, for me, for Christy and all, because I suppose it's nice to see other young people addressing things around mental health, you know, because I suppose, you know, it's funny, like, I talk to people and people always ask, wow, it's great what you're doing. And, you know, it's nice to see, you know, people always say nice things, and that's great. But I think, you know, the problem is that taking action is the biggest thing that is going to, you know, make change. And, you know, we get lots of people saying nice things about us, but it is, you know, funny, it is rare. It's, you know, unfortunately, it's not that common to see that many people out there trying to do something different about it rather than just letting things happen and stick to the status quo. So being able to see what you guys are doing, you know, watch how quickly you've grown and then get to speak to you today, which has been fantastic. It's inspiring in its own right, because you guys are taking action. You guys have put your heads together and go, we're not going to wait for the government to come up with a service or something to come out of, you know, some sort of program. We're going to come up and try and address it ourselves. And I think for anyone who's listening, you know, there is obviously the need for informed advice. And, you know, we're not saying that everyone should go out there and start talking about what the best things to do for mental health, because that's not the answer either, because everyone has their own experiences. But for sure, seeing people take initiative, get the research, get the information and the knowledge, which is what we always are really strong about at MOTUS, is making sure it's informed. And you guys and your training is obviously hugely informed. That's inspiring, because what it does is, for us, we see what we're doing and there are good days, there are bad days, but then seeing other people seeing that, you know, obviously doing it as well and, you know, working on projects in the space means we must be doing something right. Clearly there is something to address, mm-hmm. and clearly there's something we all need to kind of fix. So it is cool that we can kind of talk about and share that and see what you guys are doing. And hopefully we can kind of work off each other and learn from each other and only, you know, help to improve the whole area of kind of mental health and things like that. I think for me, that's everything really from kind of, you know, questions and, you know, insights and things. And it really was enjoyable. I think obviously, you know, this is the important thing, is like, where's the first place people can find you? Obviously on social media, I'm sure. But if you want to just drop in, like, the best places for people to come find what you guys are doing and obviously keep up to date for these unofficial ideas that none of us have heard about, you know, people are going to need to know where they're going to find these ideas.
Well, I think that anything that you need to know about Ohana is available at ohana.ie. So that is just the best place. That's even, you know, that's where the training is, you know, that's where you can meet the team and find out who found all of this. And but also it's got a resources page there, which is very useful, that if you ever do find yourself in the situation, you know, where you need to help someone else or help yourself, that there's a full list of resources there available to you. And of course, on social media as well, on Facebook and on Twitter and on Instagram, you will find us. If you search Johanna Zero Suicide, we'll pop up, and I'm sure of it. And keep up to date with us, because, I mean, you know, we're very active and we love having people, you know, interact with us and stuff.
Great, great stuff. So yeah, hopefully at some point we can, I know you guys haven't all met each other, but hopefully after you guys all meet each other, maybe we'll get to meet you as well, because yeah, I know definitely. It'd be nice to, you know, nice to kind of meet up with you guys and just see what you guys are doing. But I'm sure we will do that at some point in the future. I want, again, thank you both for your time. It's been great. Hopefully this is not the last time we all kind of work together. We kind of share ideas, because I think there's a lot to learn. And it's nice to see that we're all pulling in the same direction and trying to make a difference, not just for Ireland, but hopefully wider as well, because I think there's a lot that we can share. But yeah, I want to thank you. I want everyone to make sure they pay attention to Johanna. I think there's a lot of interesting things coming up. As always, please like, share the podcast, pass it on to your friends. If you got any kind of value out of it, you can find it on any of the podcast platforms you prefer. Find us on Motus, on Instagram, Facebook, motuslearning.com, also online for any of our trainings. And as always, mind yourselves.